We pray. Merciful Lord, our year ahead is stretched out before you before one day comes to reality. Bless us, dear Lord. Guide us through each and every day. Uphold us by your grace and goodness, and by the light of your word may we walk. Give us hearts that are tender to your word, that eagerly drink the word of life, all so that we might bring glory to you and walk in your light of forgiveness. To you be the glory now and forever, in Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you ever had to give a speech, perhaps at a wedding or a banquet? You step up to the microphone and every eye in the place is riveted on you. Kind of nerve-wracking, isn't it? All of a sudden, you're supposed to come up with something witty and wise and wonderful. And you have this real fear, oh, I'm going to blow it. Zechariah, in our text this morning, had one of those moments where the pressure was really on to say something really profound. Remember what brought him to this day? He was an old man, a priest at the temple in Jerusalem. Him and his wife were childless. And all of a sudden, while he's in the temple doing his offering, the angel Gabriel came to him and told him, "You and your wife are going to have a child." But more importantly, listen to how Angel Gabriel described this child. "He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow, this was to be a special child. Zechariah doubted Angel Gabriel. Not a good thing to do. Instantly, the Lord took away his ability to speak for the whole duration of that pregnancy. 9 months later, the baby was born. 8 days after that, the family got together. They were going to name the child at his circumcision. Oh, what should we name him? There was such a commotion and a clamor. Everybody had their own thoughts as to what the baby's name should be. Finally, Zechariah wrote down on a little piece of paper, "His name is John," just as the angel had ordered him to name. And instantly, Zechariah's voice came back. Oh, if things weren't exciting to begin with, now he can finally speak after 9 months of silence. Whatever is he going to say? Is he going to praise the Lord for this child that has been brought to him? Is he going to focus in on how special this child is? Or is he going to rejoice that now, after 9 months, he can speak again? Well, the Holy Spirit came on Zechariah. This is a monumental moment, not only for Zechariah, but for the Holy Spirit. And Zechariah was to shock them all. He wouldn't talk about his newborn baby to begin with, or even himself. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham." Isn't that remarkable? The very first words coming out of Zechariah's mouth after a 9-month silence was, "Praise the Lord. God keeps his promises. The Messiah has come." Wow. God keeps his promises. And one of the most dear promises to you and me is that he promises to rescue us from our enemies. We might have all kinds of enemies, but our biggest enemy is ourselves. We've just finished a new year. 2015, how would you characterize it? I think for most of us, if we want to be honest, 2015 was probably like an overstuffed suitcase, packed to bulging with all of our sins and rebellion, our wickedness and our perversity, all those things we'd like to have hidden away in fear that, oh, the suitcase is going to burst open and all of our sins are going to be on display for everyone to see. Wouldn't that be humiliating? But notice, in Christ, the suitcase is empty. He has forgiven. He has removed. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He has come to rescue us from our enemies. And God keeps His promises. And so we are not destroyed. He has come to redeem us from this empty, hollow, sin-filled life that we used to live and give us new life in Him, His new life. And ultimately, that's what Zechariah is all excited about. The birth of his son meant that the Messiah was to follow. His son was to be the forerunner. And as certain as his son was there, then the Messiah must follow so that his son could do his job. After so many years of waiting for the Messiah and waiting for the Messiah, Zechariah would be privileged to see the Messiah with his own eyes. Isn't that remarkable? The skeptical Zechariah, who doubted that he could ever have his own dear child, now was so confident that the Messiah would be born. God would call us to have such confidence too. Zechariah is ecstatic because God keeps His promises. But then you and I share that kind of excitement too, don't we? Why, this whole room is filled with God's promises. Promises kept that make us so excited and joy-filled. The altar symbolizes God's promise that God is here in this holy hour. He has been waiting for us, and He gathers us together like children around a Christmas tree to bestow on us His gifts divine. Time and time and time again. This baptismal font is filled with promises. What does God promise us? We come not the children of God. We leave the redeemed children of God. Born again of water and the Word in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, connected to Christ's death and resurrection, He makes us the very children of God. This is the doorway to heaven. Or the promise over here. With His holy word. What has He promised us? He will never remove Himself from His word. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And so on the other side of each and every one of these words stands Jesus. Just like a mother feeds her toddler oatmeal one spoon at a time, so Jesus comes and feeds us one word at a time to give us life and growth and strength in Him. He never removes Himself from His word. To hear His word is to hear Him. Or the promise here in His holy sacrament that His true body and blood that was sacrificed to pay for our sins, that suffered our curse in our place, is now in with and under the bread and the wine in a glorious way. As surely as we are receiving the bread and wine, we also are receiving Christ's body and blood. All for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, that we might go home blessed. He's made promises to us that as we pray here this day, He hears. He not only hears the word, He hears the heart of our prayers, and He will answer. He's promised that He will accept our praise of Him as we open up our hymnals and sing our songs, that we might adore Him here as the angels do on high. He's made a promise that as we leave with his benediction, his blessing upon us, we truly can leave in those words. Regardless of what has happened in the previous week, we go home with his peace, with his favor on us, with his face focused on us, not turned away from us, to begin a brand new week. He keeps his promises. And so we are saved. It's not until verse 76 that Zechariah finally turns his words toward his newborn son. And notice what he says, "And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." His son, John the Baptist, was to grow up and play a very, very important part in Jesus' ministry. He was to go to the highways and byways and call people to repentance, to show them their sins, but also to proclaim Christ's forgiveness for their sins, to lay out before them and teach them just how God has saved all mankind by being a curse in our place, by offering up his body to save our soul, that in that forgiveness of sins there is truly salvation, and it is a free gift from God. John knew Jesus even before he was born. He leaped in his mother's womb in faith. It makes me wonder what kind of childhood they had together. As they got together on family outings, how did Jesus and John get along? Did they play like any other boys? Throwing ball, climbing trees, whatever boys do? Or did they sit around and talk about the things of God? Or perhaps both? I always envisioned John, however, that he always had a profound respect and reverence, awe for Jesus. Because he's one of those few people who understood that Jesus was the Son of God come down in human flesh. And yet, I don't envision that John was ever afraid of Jesus. Jesus came not only to rescue us from our sins, but what does Zechariah say? To enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. John spent his days with Jesus. And the more time he spent with Jesus, the stronger his faith grew. The stronger his faith grew, the stronger his hope grew. And the stronger his hope grew, the stronger his love grew. And so it came to those days when God was sending him out in his ministry. And what a strange ministry that was. John, go eat grasshoppers and wild honey and go out in the wilderness. You're going to look like quite a sight, but you're going to go and call people to repentance, and I'm going to empty Jerusalem and they'll come out to you by the Jordan River. Notice, John the Baptist didn't have this unorthodox ministry because he was so depressed or couldn't stand people or just wanted to get away from everyone. No, he was going out to the wilderness to call people to himself so that he could direct them to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he could do that in a spirit of faith and hope and love for their souls. He was willing to spend his whole life and even lose his head for his Savior Jesus. His life was not about making $1 million or making a name for himself, or being powerful or famous. Because he had spent time with Jesus, he could serve Jesus. He was enabled to serve Jesus without fear, in holiness and righteousness that comes only from God. We also are rescued. Rescued from God. And now can serve him without fear. in holiness and righteousness that comes not from ourselves, but from our Savior. We can serve Him. And the more time we spend with Jesus in His Word and Sacrament, the more our faith will grow. And the more our faith grows, the more our hope grows. And the more our hope grows, the more our ability to love grows. And all of a sudden, this is what possesses us and consumes us. And no longer are we living in depression and fear and anger. And those are not the things of God. But rather to live in His hope, His peace, His love. And then we will be eager to do and go wherever our Lord sends us, that our life might be spent for Him. We might even consider ourselves the modern day John the Baptists. We stand in the wilderness, crying out in the darkness, "Come and see our Savior who has been born to us." We point backward to what our Savior has done, born in Bethlehem, crucified in Jerusalem, risen in glory and in victory. And we also point forward. He will soon come again. The time is short. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would give us that spirit of Elijah, that we too might be filled with the words of God, that He might move us to open our mouths just like Zechariah in praise to the Lord who has done all things marvelously. There are so many who don't know what their Savior has done for them. Could the Lord be using us for such a time as this? Chances are we will never need to give a speech at a wedding or a banquet of any sort, and yet there will be that time. Sooner or later, there will be that time when all eyes in the room are fixed on you. Everyone will be waiting to hear something witty and meaningful from you. Will that be the moment that the Holy Spirit uses you and fills your mouth with words to surprise them all? With such peace and clarity to point to Jesus as your Savior, the one who's paid for your sins, the one who has opened the mansions of heaven for you and will take you home? He's preparing you as He spends time with you. God keeps His promises. Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever acknowledges Me before men, I will acknowledge him before My Father in heaven." God keeps His promises, and so we are saved. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, in this new year, work Your good and gracious will in us and through us. May this year be dedicated to You, dear Lord, for You have done all things well. You have come and called us to be Your very own, and Your own we are. So may we live for You and praise Your name now and forevermore in Christ our Lord. Amen.